The specialist that I had been referred to basically gave me about 2 years, said that if I wanted to have kids, I would have to have them in the next 2 years for a good chance. So from that decision, I then rang my family, spoke to them, and decided pretty quickly after doing more research, it went from freezing eggs to just using an embryo, which meant I needed to get some donor sperm.
Welcome back to This Little Life, an impromptu and lively discussion diving into the big and little issues of parenting and beyond. They say it takes a village to raise a child, but what if you want to go it alone? Well, Becky Bell refers to herself as a single mum by choice, using a sperm donor to conceive her two beautiful children. And now she's on a mission to break the stigma and educate others about the power and beauty of her unconventional path to motherhood. At times, single parenthood may mean double the stress and double the worry, but doesn't it also mean double the love? Join us as Becky shares all about being a single mum by choice. So firstly, Becky, thank you so much for joining us today. It's wonderful to have you.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. And because, I mean, personally, you know, the majority of my parenting journey, I've also been a single mum. So I'm really looking forward to hearing about your own experiences today. And a little bit like me, before the arrival of little Hugh 5 weeks ago, I was also a mum of two. So, you know, for the listeners out there, let's, you know, set the scene a little bit. You are a single mum of two, Noah and Adeline, who were both conceived with the help of a sperm donor. I'm really interested to understand what inspired you to follow this particular path to start a family.
I think when I was younger, in my teenage years, I always wanted to be a mum. I wanted to have a family of my own. And then come the year of 2020, my partner and I had broken up. And for some reason, I don't know why, I went and had my AMH tested. So that's basically a test you can get done to check your egg reserve. Mm-hmm. And that's where it all started.
And what was the results? Was that up or down? Is that what kind of inspired you then to get moving on this journey?
It was, yeah. So it was quite low for my age. I was only 26 at the time. My AMH was 3.9. So anything above 10 is great. Usually women under 30 have AMHs over 10. Mine was 3.9, so for my age it was significantly low, and yeah, that's when I got referred to a specialist to go talk about it.
Right, that's interesting. I don't think I've even heard of AMH before. What around that? Did you just decide that you wanted to go and check out whether you could have babies? Was that something you were kind of, you know, desired from an early age in terms of making sure you're across that health aspect? Because I wouldn't have, don't even think at 26 I would have even thought about that. So it's interesting that that was something you sought out.
Yeah. Well, I suffer with endometriosis. Uh-huh. I've suffered with that since I was about 15, 16. I had to have many days off school and days off work because I was in so much pain. And I knew that from endometriosis, that the possibility of not being able to conceive kids naturally. So I went and got the test done and then found out on top of my endometriosis, I then had a low AMH. So it was just another hurdle.
Gosh, yeah. Because my twin sister suffers terribly from endometriosis and I understand a lot of women do. But I'm not sure how many of them are getting educated around what the longer term impacts are for you in terms of conception. That's really fascinating. But Becky, tell me this, when you obviously went and had the test and you got the results, what was, you know, exactly when and how did you make the decision to navigate parenthood by yourself and without a partner? Was that a quick and easy decision or something you really had to give a lot of thought to?
No, it was pretty quick and easy. I had broken up with my partner in about June, July, and I then went and had the test done. Found out that I had a very low egg reserve. The specialist that I had been referred to basically gave me about 2 years, said that if I wanted to have kids, I would have to have them in the next 2 years for a good chance. So from that decision, I then rang my family, spoke to them, and decided pretty quickly after doing more research for a few weeks, it went from freezing eggs to just using an embryo, which meant I needed to get some donor sperm.
I see. That's really fascinating. And tell me, I mean, in terms of the donor sperm, what's involved? Because, I mean, for most people, it's, you know, what you see on the movies And but you know, you don't really understand what really happens in that journey. So can you tell us, you know, what you go through, what kind of questions you're asking yourself throughout, you know, what is the process in terms of working with a company around it, and how do you pick your donor?
Yeah, sure. So it was quite a long process. It took me, I think, from deciding that I wanted to go through IVF with a sperm donor, it was about 6 to 8 months. I had to do counseling sessions to use a donor. And it's not to say whether you're going to be approved or not. It's more they just want you to know all the facts, all the information about using a sperm donor and how you come about with that. And yeah, so I decided I wanted to do it. Then I had multiple blood tests, picked the clinic that I needed to go through, picked my doctor. I then had my counseling sessions. And once those counseling sessions were done, I then got sent a list of all the sperm donors. I went through all their profiles, narrowed it down, and picked my donor.
So I've got to ask the question, because I'm sure everyone's wondering, what kind of information do you get around the sperm donor? Like, do you get height and eyes and hair and, well, I mean, how do you pick? It feels like the canteen list, you know, do you get a sausage roll over a pie? What do you find out and how did you choose?
You do get a list. So it depends on what company you go through. There's multiple different companies that have sperm donations. One is in America. It's called the Seattle Sperm Bank, and they actually have photos of their sperm donors as a child. Mine did not come with a photo, so I didn't use Seattle Sperm Bank. I went through Adam, and they, most of their donors don't come with photos. So it's basically just information like their height, how much they weigh, what color their hair is, what color their eyes, what ethnicity they are, what their hobbies are, all that type of stuff. So yeah, I had 32 donors to pick from. I went from 32 to 11. Then from 11, I went through with my family. We read all their profiles, got it from 11 down to 3. And then from those 3, I picked my sperm donor.
My gosh, I think I'd be overwhelmed.
It's really interesting going through all of the all the profiles.
I can imagine. And so tell me this then, because we obviously had a good look at your two gorgeous children. Are they both from different donors or the same donor?
No, so they're from the same sperm donor. Okay. I actually had used the sperm for my son, and when I went through IVF, I only had 4 eggs collected. Out of those 4 eggs, only 2 embryos made it. One was defrosted on the day to be transferred and it died, and I only had 1 left. So they defrosted that one and they transferred that one. That one obviously was Noah, and I had no embryos left from that. And 6 months down the track, I decided to go and get my AMH tested again. It went from 3.9 down to 0.7, so a lot less. Wow. And I started freaking out, thinking I wanted another baby, yet I had no more sperm, I had no more embryos. So I had to go through the whole IVF process again. I rang the clinic to go and get more sperm, and they told me that my sperm donor had no more vials left. So then I kind of freaked out a little bit. I went through a bunch of emotions because I wanted my 2 kids to have. I wanted them to be biological siblings. I wanted them to be full siblings. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so then a week later, I got a phone call. So it was very strange after going through all those emotions. A week later, I get a phone call to say that they found a vial of sperm from my donor. And did I want it? Oh, so I definitely wanted it.
Goodness me.
And I purchased the sperm and I went through another round of IVF and had my other embryos done, and now I've got Adeline.
Because she's beautiful, by the way. I was looking at your Instagram page, and I mean they're both gorgeous, but she particularly, these eyes, I mean, she's just stunning. Oh my goodness, I was like, what a looker. So that's really fascinating, and obviously a bit of chance and luck for you. So what a journey you went through. So in terms of then, you know, knowing, you know, this, I mean, you don't know who the sperm donor is. Can you see the resemblance in Noah and Adeline?
Yeah, I can see the resemblance between the two of them. And people have said that both of my children, obviously, they look like me. There's parts where I can see that are not me. They are definitely the donor. Obviously, I don't know what he looks like. But yeah, then they're definitely parts that I can say that aren't me.
Yeah, yeah. So Becky, that's really, really fascinating. And I suppose, you know, like anything, parenting is, you know, a journey with lots of people and family and friends and what have you in and around, you know, that development in your life. But how did you go about approaching your decision to use a sperm donor with your family and friends? It sounds like your family was very much involved in the process, you know, but what were their reactions when you first told them that this was the journey or the path that you were hoping to take?
Yeah, so obviously my family and my friends knew that I suffered with endometriosis. They all knew that I was going for this AMH test. Obviously, when I got the results back, multiple people got phone calls. I was crying, had big, long conversations with them. And it wasn't so much, it was more just me telling them, hey, I've decided to go through IVF with a sperm donor by myself. And I think majority of my friends and family were very much on board. My mother definitely, she wanted grandbabies, so she was very much excited for me to do this. I had a couple of friends that were no longer friends. They were not all for the idea or not so supportive, and that was fine. Yeah, overall, most people were very supportive.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it, that, you know, the reaction around being a single mom and doing it by yourself. I think that's really interesting because, you know, I actually found parenting as a single parent in some ways so much easier than having kind of somebody in the ecosystem that was creating more stress than helping out. So I always find it interesting because it's really, you know, what you can do as a single mom, as you know firsthand now, is incredible. So Becky, it's really, you know, I suppose looking at the journey, it's not without its challenges in terms of just the, you know, the physically and the emotional aspects of going through the sperm donor process. But I suppose what are the other challenges? I mean, the one that comes to mind obviously would have to be a financial one. Are you happy to share with us, you know, what was the sort of, you know, expected financial outlay if you did want to do something similar to the journey that you've done?
Yeah, so IVF is obviously very expensive. With Noah, it cost me $15,000 to have him, to go through IVF and all the treatment and to have Noah. And then with Adeline, it ended up being $19,000 due to a failed transfer. And then I had to do a frozen transfer. So that was an extra $4,000 on top, which I ended up having to take out of my super. So yeah, total I've spent over $30,000 on having my two children.
How gorgeous. Well, you're going to spend a lot more on them as they grow up, let me tell you.
Yes, they are very expensive.
Let me tell you, I tell you what. But tell me this, I suppose I'm interested from looking at it from Noah and Adeline's point of view when they're a bit older, you know, do you plan on mm-hmm. discussing the topic of, you know, where they came from with the two of them?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. So when I did have the counseling session about using a sperm donor, the psychiatrist recommended that I start talking to my children about it when around about 4 years of old, 4 years of age, sorry. When they start to understand or they ask questions. Noah does actually say dad or daddy. He watches, you know, Peppa Pig or Bluey, and obviously they mention dad or daddy. So he repeats that, but he doesn't necessarily know what that word means, who that person is. And yeah, 100%, I am going to tell both of them how they came into this world, why I decided it. They are definitely going to know that they were wanted, very much wanted and loved. Yeah, and I did make a book when I first started going through IVF with Noah. I had a book and I've written down every blood test, every ultrasound, everything that went on in IVF, I have put it in the book for both of them to see when they're older.
Gorgeous. Gosh, it makes me feel like a terrible parent. I've done nothing. I'm like, oh gosh, I think I saved a few pictures and that's it. Oh my gosh. And tell me this, I suppose then, you know, to that point about being loved and, you know, being a single mom, of which there's no shame to it anymore. What are the sort of, you know, values and the way, you know, you like to kind of, you know, look after your kids? How would you describe that? And is that any different if you had have had a partner, do you think?
I think, yeah, not having a partner and taking it all on myself, I do have to work twice as hard for everything. But it also just shows that the love that I have and the dedication I have for my children. And yeah, I want Noah to, even though there isn't a man in mine or Noah's or Adeline's life that I still want him to grow up. You know, I want to teach him to be a respectful man to women and people in general. And same as Adeline. They do have male role models in their life just because there's no dad. They still have male role models that can demonstrate, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, it's really important, isn't it? And you'll find, I think you'll find interestingly later on in life, like I did with, you know, Olive and Freddie, because it's the three of you just for so long, they become very protective. Do you know any new people that get introduced into your little world and your little bubble, they get very protective of their own space, do you know? So it's fascinating how they will also just develop in terms of their own kind of little way because of the, you know, the little, you know, it's the three amigos for so long. And it's actually so beautiful. I mean, blessed. As I'm sure you will when they're older, as you and do now, you know, you just feel so blessed that they're your primary focus. But I tell you, one of the things I did find challenging, obviously, is, you know, balancing the career and working and two young children and all those sort of things all at once as a single mum. That definitely, was the pinch point at times. How are you? Are you working? How are you coping with juggling parenting and, you know, all of the other responsibilities of being a single mum?
Yeah, so I go back to work in about 6 weeks. I'll be working about 3 days a week. I was going to work, obviously, Noah was about 7 months old when he went into daycare and I went back to work. I was working 4 days a week at that point. And, yeah, juggling work and having a family and being the responsible parent for everything, it is a lot. I do thrive off schedules and all those type of things. I love routine. That is key, yeah. I think.
I think I could learn a thing off you.
Yeah. But, yeah, so I go back to work in the next, about 6 weeks. I am starting to get a little nervous, but it'll be good. It'll be good for me to get out and go back to work. And obviously the daycare that the kids are in, they're really great there. They're very understanding, and so is my work of the situation. So
fantastic. Well, bravo to you. Like I said, there's as a single mum, certainly a single mum of two young children, there's literally nothing you can do. You should be really proud of what you've done. And I really interested to know, just going back to one of the questions we asked before around, you know, obviously discussing the topic of sperm donor with the kids when they're a bit older. Is there any way that the kids could ever meet the father, or is that just something that, you know, once you're a donor, it's total anonymity, you know, that those details are never shared, or do you have the ability to find out who it is and then, you know, introduce if that ever came up?
Yes. So when the kids do turn 18, they are allowed certain information about the donor. Okay. If they want to meet him or vice versa, if the donor wants to meet the children, Adeline and Noah do actually have two half siblings out there. So when I did pick the sperm donor, it does say that the donor has had two live births. So there is two other children out there. I'm not sure. We haven't matched yet. I have tried. I'm on the donor registry. I have done Noah's DNA test. I'm waiting. I'm going to do Adeline's too. I did actually think there was a bit of a mix-up. That's why I ended up getting Noah's DNA done, because there was a backup sperm donor. So if the donor that I chose was not available, I had a backup. And he ended up being blonde hair, blue-eyed, just Aussie guy. And obviously when Noah has gotten older, he has blonde hair, he's got green eyes, he's very fair. Obviously the donor that I picked was not that at all. So I did freak out a little and I got his DNA done. It came back. The donor is the donor.
Amazing.
Whilst doing that, I ended up matching with the donor's parents. I haven't reached out. It's not something that I want to do just because I don't know if the donor has explained to his parents, if his family know. I'm not sure if he has kids of his own now or whether he's married, has a partner. So I'll leave that up to him. Obviously, I will try other avenues. There's Facebook pages for single parents and people who have used donor sperm for us to connect and try and find the siblings or the donor if they want to, if they want to reach out. I'm all for that.
It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, it's one of those bits that I suppose you sort of go, you know, I mean, it's very generous, I suppose, from a sperm donor perspective to be able to go through the process themselves. And we have to get somebody on the show one day and, you know, get their, it'd be fascinating to understand their perspective on, you know, why they became a sperm donor. But do we know much? I mean, through your journey, did you hear when you're doing your counseling, are there many of the sperm donors that are happy to share to you know, to find out who, which kids they've been able to help birth? Or is that something that's kind of normal? Or is do most people prefer to stay incognito?
Some do. Some would prefer. When I was going through the profiles, it does actually state whether the sperm donor is their marital status. So some were actually in relationships and donating sperm. Obviously, their partner would know. And some wanted to meet the kids down the track. Some would prefer not to. But obviously, when the kid does turn 18, they do have the right to reach out to try and have access to the donor. And they are fully aware of that. So sperm donors in Australia are not paid. It's different in America. They're obviously paid. I'm not sure about other countries, but definitely America. That's why a lot of college students go and donate, because they are paid for that. In Australia, it's illegal. So yeah, my sperm donor obviously did not get paid to donate. It did specify on his profile why he donated, and that's one of the reasons why I picked him. But yeah, so it's very interesting. Some donors would like to reconnect with their sperm children, you know, their donor children, and then others would prefer not to. So mine didn't specify.
Oh, okay. And what, and do you mind me asking, you don't have to answer it, but do you mind me asking, mm-hmm. what was it that he said that why he wanted to donate and that got attracted you to his profile?
So he had written that he has a friend who suffered with endometriosis, and he had watched her, you know, throughout her life suffer with that, thinking that she would never be able to have children, and she really wanted them. She then met someone. I think in his profile he said that they got married, and then they ended up falling pregnant, and he saw how much happiness and joy that it brought her being able to have a child. And after watching that, he decided that he was going to donate and help, other women have kids.
Gorgeous. And something that really obviously resonated with you because of your personal story as well. My goodness. Well, very, very good choice, my dear. Very good choice. And I suppose the thing is, I mean, your story's so interesting, but I mean, you're not alone, are you? I mean, this story probably resonates with a lot of women and families. You know, have you connected with any others who have been on the similar path or are exploring this similar path?
Yeah, there's many. So obviously when I started my TikTok page back in 2021, I sort of started it, and then I met all these other women. People were starting reaching out saying, hey, I'm also a single mom by choice. And so obviously we got to talk about that. And then obviously carrying on, you know, 2-3 years later, I've now had people contact me saying that I was their inspiration to start that journey. They didn't realize that they could be a single parent. They didn't realize that they could do it alone and do so well having a child by themselves. And so they reached out saying, you know, thank you for putting it out there that you can do that. So I've actually got a few online friends that are single, you know, single mums who have done it my way. And we definitely go back and forth asking questions and comparing. Yeah, it's really good.
It's fantastic. And it's actually interesting because I do remember 2 years or so ago during lockdown, I mean, everyone's nearly forgotten that COVID was a thing, but during lockdown, we had a lady who had ordered some little loaf online but couldn't get it in time. And she, it turns out she lived just around the corner from me. So the team sort of said, can you drop it off to her? And I said, of course. And I remember turning up there on a Friday night to her house and knocked on the door, and this poor, very tired, exhausted looking lady came down, and she said to me, oh, thank you so much. I was really stressing out. She goes, I'm a single mom and I've had no sleep. And I said, oh my God, right. And she said, I haven't showered all day. And I said, right, I'm going to come up and you're going to look up to your baby for an hour or two. I'm going to make you some dinner. You're going to have a shower. Didn't know this lady from a bar of soap, but you could just tell she needed a hand at that moment in time. And she, anyway, she was also telling me her story, which was that she had done something similar to you because she was so, you know, she so wanted to have a baby, but, you know, hadn't sort of had the journey where she'd found the right person to have it with. So she actually had a similar story to tell. And I still remember it. And in fact, we heard from her just a few weeks ago, and I haven't spoken to her for a while. So I must reach out to her because this story is just, you know, just like hers. But she was really struggling at that time with, you know, baby not sleeping and, you know, the first time parent thing that we all have been through and wondering what happened to our lives and trying to exist on 2 hours sleep. So, I always remember that moment because I thought, gosh, what a brave thing to do, do you know, and very brave that, you know, you and similar other mums out there are doing because it's a huge undertaking, parenthood anyway, but you're certainly with just yourself and balancing everything else. But you are very open about sharing this story on social media, which I just think is so wonderful. But of course, like anything in social media, of course, you know, you've got lots of people with lots of opinions and they'll weigh in on that your personal decision. So, you know, how do you deal with that? And, you know, what sort of drove you to share that story? I mean, you've just shared with us as other people have reached out to you and you've impacted their lives. But, you know, how do you you know, what has been that journey around sharing it? Has that been a positive one? Has that been a challenging one? What are some of those things that you have to deal with on a day-to-day basis? And also, how do you find time to record all this stuff? Because I was watching, I was like, how does she do it? I don't even have time to put my shoes on in the morning. And she's doing all of this and sharing her story. I'm so impressed.
Definitely at the start, you know, starting my TikTok and my journey, and putting it out there, I did have some negative comments from people online. It affected me at the start. People saying really horrible things, that I'm being selfish and that I've deprived my children of a father figure and all those kind of things. At the start, it did affect me. And then I realized that they're just keyboard warriors. They're online. I'm sure if they actually met me in person, they would not say that to my face. Definitely if they stuck around and listened to my story and see where I was actually coming from, they may change their minds. As time has gone by, I've actually had so much more positive comments from people. So many people message me daily just saying what a great job I'm doing. And I don't know, I think it surprises me sometimes because I've not had a partner to have my kids with. So this is normal to me. Having my kids by myself and doing everything by myself is normal. So having a partner would be really strange helping out. So when people are like, I don't know how you do it, you're doing so well, I'm like, oh, I'm just, you know, doing what needs to be done. It's just everyday things that you got to do, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, there has been negative comments, there's been positive comments. And now I don't care. I post what I want to post online about my story, and I find that majority of what I post, people enjoy, and yeah, they obviously like it and they comment nice things. So, yeah.
That's fantastic. And tell me this. So, you know, what is, from your perspective, the best part of being a single mum?
I think it's funny that I get multiple messages from people who have partners, and they say that I have it easy. And I agree with them. I do think I have it a lot easier than people with partners. I've got friends that have partners and say that it's just more work for them. So I definitely think I have it easier. And I just love that the kids they're all mine. They're my babies. I get the decision for everything. I'm everything to them. I love that.
Yeah, I know it's absolutely gorgeous, and it's certainly probably the same thing I would say as well. You get to drive the bus, do you know? No one else trying to drive the bus for you. And Becky, tell me this. I mean, I suppose for those that are considering or perhaps already on the path, on a similar path to you, you know, given that you've now gone through this for two gorgeous babies or two gorgeous children, what advice do you have for those out there that are looking at perhaps considering something similar?
I think do it. If you really wanted to, if you want a family and you're just waiting for a man to come around to do that, I don't think that's right. That's why I went ahead with it. Yes, I had a bit of a push because I had a low AMH and I didn't have the time. But I definitely think I didn't want to just pick some man to have a baby with. If I was going to have kids, it wanted to be with the right person. And like, I didn't have time to wait around to find someone, and I really wanted a family. So I think if you want a family, start, do it. Don't second guess yourself. And yeah, if you want it, just go out and do it.
Fantastic. And I suppose, Becky, the question that I have is burning is, you know, how do you envision your parent journey unfolding? I mean, is your little family of three complete, or is there more to come?
No, I think two is good. I do go back and forth, because obviously I would like to meet someone in the future. At this point in time, meeting someone is definitely not on my agenda. It's not top priority. My kids are. Later on down the track, if I was to meet someone, if they wanted to have kids, I'm not sure. One, I don't know if that would be a possibility due to my low AMH and my endo. But also, I'm not sure if – I don't know how I feel about that, because obviously my two little ones are biological full siblings, and bringing another child in that wasn't used through the sperm donor, I don't know. That would have to be a very, very big decision. But at the moment, I'm very happy with just myself and the two kids.
That's gorgeous. Well, I, you know, like I said before, you're so brave, and a huge congratulations for what you've been able to do. It's phenomenal. And all the women out there doing something similar, or indeed just being a single parent, because let me tell you, it's wonderful, but it's also certainly stressful. But, you know, Becky,
oh, it is.
Isn't it just, I know, my best friend was a single mum as well. So we had the single mum club. It was great, you know, so that you sort of need that little community around you. But, you know, as we come to the end of today's conversation, I really just want to thank you for sharing your incredible story, Becky. It's no doubt having a positive impact on breaking down barriers and addressing some of the stereotypes around single motherhood, of which I have experienced firsthand. So for our listeners who want to connect with you and stay up to date with your little family, how can they find you?
Yeah, so if you just go on either TikTok, Instagram, it's just Becky Bell, and feel free to message me. I'm always happy to talk to people about things. I've given people helpful advice, I think. yeah.
Fantastic. Well, Becky, thanks so much again for joining us. You must send our love to your gorgeous little children. They're just beautiful, both of them. So thank you so much again for today. And
thank you so much, and congratulations to you too.
Thank you. Yes, little Hugh is just outside the studio now, still being very quiet, so I'm waiting for him erupt to feed in a second, so that'll be exciting. Nothing like juggling newborns and working. So here we go. Welcome to our world, single mums. But again, thanks, Becky. And if you'd like to stay updated on our latest episodes and future releases, please make sure you subscribe to our podcast or your favorite platform, whether it's Apple or Spotify or wherever you should listen. And don't forget to leave us a review and share this podcast with your loved ones. Your feedback and support mean the absolute world to us. And more importantly, if you have any suggestions for future topics or guests, please feel free to reach out to us. We'd absolutely love to hear from you. So until next time, take care and ensure you take some time to enjoy this little life.